So as believers, we know that we should not operate on fear. We should not be overcome with anxiety. We should not give way to worry. We should fight against those doubting monsters with the giant of faith. In fact, we know that to give place to worry and fear and to allow them to dwell in our hearts, we know that to continue in those things, it becomes sin for us. These frantic, weary, plague-like thoughts take us to a place of doubt, and we begin to question and we begin to doubt the things that we know. We begin to forget the things that we know, like the nature of God Himself, the certainty of salvation, the presence of Christ. These things we know to be true, we know to be certain, but when we give way to worry and fear, we begin to question these things and doubt them. And it's in those moments that we know what we need faith. We need to believe. We need to trust. We need to rest. We need to be at peace. We need to take comfort in the Lord. And we need to be reassured of all that God is for us in Christ. We know that faith is the cure for our worry and fear. Social media theologians might put it this way, hashtag faith over fear. Have you seen that? Or maybe hashtag faith not fear, something like that. We know that. All of that is true. We know it's true. But in the middle of the dark cloud of fear, these truths that we know to be so certain, they become foggy. They become loose in our grip. They become blurry in our vision. And then deeper doubts begin to emerge. When we allow these things to take hold and to settle into our hearts and our minds, our doubts plunge to even deeper and darker places. Because we know that fear is the opposite of faith, when we are plagued with fear, we begin to question our faith. And we wonder things like this. We have thoughts like this. If I am filled with so much fear, does that mean I don't have faith? Am I even a believer? If I keep having these doubts and fears and worries. Something like this. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've read and I've talked to other people and I've listened to sermons and I've done all these things and I keep having these thoughts and I keep going to these places and I keep falling into these pits. Does this mean that I'm not even saved? Maybe we think along these lines, you know, I used to never struggle with this. I used to never encounter this. I used to never have a problem with this. And now it seems like every other day I'm right back at square one. So does that mean I'm not walking with the Lord? Did I ever really truly know the Lord? Our doubts and our questions just continue to get darker. And it's into this territory. In fact, I was speaking with someone just a few weeks ago that almost said these words verbatim to me. I had the opportunity to pray with this person. And it's into this territory of spiritual doubt, deep spiritual doubt and fear, that Psalm 56 takes us. So you can know this, you are not alone in your questions. You are not alone in your ongoing battle. You are not alone in your struggle with fear, with doubt and worry. And furthermore, you are not alone, period. God is with you. And here's one of the main lessons we learn in Psalm 56. If we can find God in our fear, we will soon find faith. Because faith is a gift of God. So the first thing we see in verses 1 through 4 is that an occasion for fear is an occasion for faith. An occasion for fear is an occasion for faith. Not for less faith, but to realize faith, to land on faith, to find faith. In verses 1 through 2, we discover David's occasion for fear. If we went back 10 psalms, back to Psalm 46, if you remember when we studied that psalm together, the occasion for fear in that psalm, and we've had a couple of treasure verses from Psalm 46, but the occasion for fear in Psalm 46 was the uncertainties of life, things that we believe to be sure, and when we find out they're not so sure, that gives rise to fear in our hearts. Things like the sureness of the ground beneath our feet. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, 2, therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way. We felt a little bit of that last Sunday, didn't we? 5.1 earthquake on the North Carolina-Virginia line, and we shook a little bit here in Gaffney. You may have heard the saying, as sure as the ground beneath your feet. Well, when that's supposed to be pretty sure, but when it's not so sure, when things that are supposed to be certain are not so certain all of a sudden, it gives rise to fear at times in our hearts and lives. Psalm 46 addresses those uncertainties with the certainty of the Lord. And here David speaks of another kind of fear, a fear that arises from people, not from the uncertainties of life, but from the certainty that people, as sinners, will be sinners. And he says in these first two verses that man tramples on me, an attacker oppresses me, my enemies trample on me, many attack me. This is what we call the fear of man. And David felt it. And believers down through the ages have felt it. At times we have felt it too. As long as there are bullies, there will be the fear of man. As long as there are haters of truth, there will be the fear of man. As long as there are persecutors of the church, there will be the fear of man, the opportunity for the fear of man. As long as there are narcissistic, inward-bent people who will lie and cheat others, and do whatever they have to do for their own gain, there will be the fear of man. In other words, this kind of fear has nothing to do with uncertainties. We can be certain that this kind of fear, this occasion for fear, is always going to be available. It's always going to be present because people are always going to be sinners. However, the fear of man is not the only guaranteed certainty of life. That's where Psalm 56 is taking us. Faith is just as certain and even more so, just as present and even more so. And so in verse 3, David relies on his faith whenever he encounters his fears. Verse 3, when I am afraid. When I am afraid. When fear arises in my heart. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. When that happens to me, when I am shaken, when I am frantic, when I am worried, when I am troubled, when that happens in my soul and in my mind and in my heart, what I do is I put my trust in you. The first lesson for us is this. And it's a truth we need to hear. And that is this: it is possible for fear and faith to occupy the heart at the same time. We are human. And we are able to have two opposing thoughts in our hearts at the very same time. Fear and faith. David says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." So we must learn as believers, do not allow the presence of fear to open the way for us to question our faith. An occasion for fear is not an occasion to question faith. It's an occasion for faith. Rather, use that occasion of fear to spark that faith. Now, here's how you find faith. How do we find faith when we are faced with fear? When David says this in verse 3, when he says, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." And if we are in a fearful moment or in a worried moment, we would read verse 3, and the first thing we want to know is, well, how'd you do that, David? I mean, that's easier said than done, right? When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Verse 4 gives us the answer, doesn't it? In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. How do you find faith when you are faced with fear? Number one, we go to God's word. We go to God's word. In God, whose word I praise. That's where David is going. He's going to the Word of God, and he's finding reasons to praise God even when he's afraid. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. How? In God, whose Word I praise. The path to God in the cloud of fear is the Word of God. That's why we are treasuring up verses together. That's why we're reading through the Bible. That's why we look to God's Word on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's why we study together in Sunday schools and discipleship classes. That's why we have private devotions and family devotions and listen to sermons during the week, because the Word speaks the promises of God, the character of God, the faithfulness of God to our souls. The Word pierces the darkness, moves through the cloud and the fog, shines the light through the haze. The Word reminds us of what is true. The Word brings us back to what is real. The Word centers our hearts back on reality and what is certain and what is eternal and what is lasting. David says, "When I am afraid, in God whose word I praise." He's praising God through his word when he's afraid. The Word shines the bright light of hope through the cloud of fearful darkness. The Word imparts courage and confidence. We find our assurance. We find our feet. We find our standing when we dive into God's Word. Fear will have you tremble in fright. The Word will have you praise through the darkest night. And here's why. The more you linger in God's Word, the larger your view of God becomes. And the larger your view of God becomes, the more God overshadows your fear. The more you linger in the Word, the greater your view of God, the greater your view of God, the more God overshadows your fear. Second truth, the second lesson for us is this: when we experience fear or worry or doubt or anxious thoughts, we're actually not on a quest for faith. Now, we know faith is the cure for fear, right? We know faith is the opposite of fear, right? So we would think if I'm fearful, then what I need is faith. But that's not what we're learning from David, is it? He's not really trying to find faith. What he's searching for is God. This is a great lesson for us, a wonderful truth. I put my trust in you. How? In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. We need to go searching for God. We need to go to his word and find God. And when we find God, we'll find faith. Interesting, isn't it? You look at verse 3 and verse 4. What lies between the words, when I am afraid, and then in verse 4, I shall not be afraid? The main thing that lies in between those two things, when I am afraid and I shall not be afraid, the main thing in between those things is God. In God, in his word. When we find God, find faith. And now, even though man continues to trample, he says, man is trampling me, my accusers are attacking me. Even though that continues to happen, David is now standing on strong legs of faith, and instead of trembling on weak ankles, and he asks the question, what can flesh do to me? Verses 1 and 2 is still happening, but now David is saying, what can flesh do to me? You may read that, and you may say, well, David, flesh can do a lot to you. There's a lot flesh can do to you, David. What are you talking about? Flesh can really hurt. Flesh can say really hurtful things. Flesh can do really damaging things to you, about you, ruin your reputation, cause you loss of friends and goods, and cause you shame. And flesh can even take your life, David. There's a lot that flesh can do to you. I think the question there is, but really, David is not saying that flesh cannot do anything. He says, what can flesh do to me? He's not saying there's nothing that flesh can do. What he's saying is that in comparison to being with God, in comparison to knowing God, in comparison to being a child of God, what does it matter what flesh does to me? I'm with God. God is with me. There is no reason to fear man as long as we fear God. There is no injury or malice that man can do to us who belong to God that God cannot turn for our good. That's what God does. He's sovereign and good and wise and faithful. Remember what Joseph told his brothers back there in Genesis? His own brothers sold him into slavery. And remember what he told them? He said, you meant it for evil. I can see him pointing at him, can't you? You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. What can flesh do to me? Well, I can sell you into slavery. Yeah, but look what God did with that. That's the meaning of that from David. Look what God did with that. The harm that man can do to God's children in no way compares to the good that God can bring out of it. God used the betrayal of Joseph's brothers to save entire nations from starvation. The entire nation of Egypt and surrounding peoples and God's people, Joseph's own brothers, He did all of that by one man being sold into slavery. Imagine what God can do. You see, if we get into God's word, our view of God gets larger. Imagine what God can do. He can save a nation. He can save his people from starvation when this man sold into slavery. What can flesh do to me? Get into God's word. Let's see how big God is. And the larger our view of God, the more he overshadows our fear of man. But then what happens, it seems, in the psalm, I know it's a song, and so we're going into verse 2 here in verse 5, but chronologically, you could say, or by experience, you could say, that immediately after David makes this great statement of faith, it seems that his faith has rebounded, and here he is again standing strong in the Lord. What can flesh do to me? And then in verse 5, he's right back where he started, isn't he? So the second point of tonight's message is this: fear and faith is not a one and done. Fear and faith is not a one and done. That's the third lesson for us. The third truth for us is just because your fear returns does not mean you don't have faith or never had faith or never can have faith. Because the nature of sin is to keep sinning. That's what sin does. It sins. That's what sinners do. They sin. That's what a fallen world does. It stays fallen. Just because your battle with fear is ongoing does not mean you are not a believer. In fact, by your continuing to turn to faith in your battle with fear is assurance that you are indeed a believer. That's what believers do. They just keep turning to God. That's all we know to do. Now, we may spend a lot of time and waste a lot of energy and shed a lot of tears and turn a lot of hair gray worrying, or turn a lot of hair loose worrying. We may do all of that before we finally get to the point that we turn to God, but believers turn to God. That's what they do. Unbelievers don't turn to God. Believers turn to God. So don't let these things shake you. Don't let these things take you further down the track of darkness. In verses 5 through 7, the attacks and opposition against the people of God, they are consistent. They are constant. They keep coming. You see what he says there? They keep stirring strife. They lurk. They watch my steps. They've waited for my life all day long. They injure my cause. All that's happening after his statement of faith. Something here for us. Faith will drive fear from your heart, but it will not evaporate the circumstances or the people that give rise to that fear. We miss that. If we miss that step, then we fall back into all of those dark, deep questions, don't we? Faith will drive fear out of our heart, but it will not evaporate the circumstances and the people that gave rise to that fear. They'll still be there. The circumstances stay there. The people stay there. That's not faith's job. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that's faith's job. If you have enough faith, then you by your faith can change your circumstances, or you by your faith can change people. That's not faith's job. That's not our job. Circumstances and people are under God's domain. That's his realm. He changes people. He changes circumstances according to his good will and pleasure. Listen to these words. Faith doesn't eliminate the occasion for fear. Faith just eliminates the fear, so that even in the occasion, we can walk by faith and not by sight. I want to say that again. Faith doesn't eliminate the occasion for fear. Faith just eliminates the fear, so that even in the occasion for fear, we can walk by faith, not by sight. We see David, and we learn that our first response to fear in verse 3 was to go to God's word, and there we find God. And when we find God, we find faith. But our second response to fear we see here in verse 8, and that is to remember. So first we go to God in his word. Second, we remember some things about God. God has a record. God has a bottle. God has a book. You see what he says here in verse 8? You have kept count of my tossings or wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? God has a record. He keeps an accurate account of every wrong that's done to us, and he keeps a detailed description of every woe that those wrongs have caused us. He knows of every sleepless, restless night. He knows of every tremble of the heart. He knows of every worried thought. He knows of every stressful situation. And he has a bottle. He doesn't forget a single tear. God knows so much more about us than we realize. He knows the number of hair on our head, and he keeps a collection of every tear that falls from our... How much does God care for you and love you? So why do we fear? Why do we worry? God has a book. In other words, there's a written account, a permanency to a written record. Here's what we need to do. First thing, we go to God's word and we find God. Second thing, we need to remember that God never forgets. Isn't that wonderful? We need to remember that God never forgets. We can remember, then we can rest. Look at verse 9. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. Now, if you don't have that phrase, if you don't have that sentence underlined and highlighted and circled in your Bible, you need to. Isn't that wonderful? This I know, that God is for me. If you are in Christ Jesus tonight, those words are your words. You can take those anywhere and everywhere. In fact, if you are in Christ Jesus, say those words with me right now. This I know, that God is for me. Now, Paul, the apostle, must have read Psalm 56, didn't he? You remember what he said? If God is for us, who can be against us? What can flesh do to me? So yes, the occasion for fear remained, but so did the recipe for faith remain. And we see that in verses 10 and 11. So we're going back into the chorus again. But he's right back where he needs to be, isn't he? In God, whose word I praise. There he is, back in the word. In the Lord, whose word I praise. There he is, back in the word, and he's finding God. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? And he started on that track by remembering, this I know, God is for me. He does not forget. So what do we do? The third point of the message tonight in verses 12 and 13, what to do when fear and faith collide, when they are in the heart at the same time, when we are afraid and we are striving to put our faith in the Lord. What do we do when faced with fear? Whether that be the fear of man or any kind of fear or any kind of worry or anxious thought. What are we going to do? Well, that's really the question. The question is not what are others going to do. Faith has already settled that question, right? What can flesh do to me? What can man do to me? Faith has already answered that. God has already answered that. If God is for us, who can be against us? Whatever man does, God is God, and he will undo, or he will redo, or he will outdo. Right? What can man do to me? God will either undo it, redo it, or outdo it. So that question's answered. The real question is when we face fear, the question is not, what are they going to do? What are they going to say? Where are they going to be? What's going to happen? What are they going to... Those are not the questions. God's bigger than all of that. The question is not, what is man going to do? The question is, what am I going to do? What are we going to do as believers when faced with fear? See there in verse 12, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. First thing, what do we do when faced with fear or worry? We get busy living for God and worshiping God. How do you face fear with faith? Well, we keep living for God and we keep worshiping God. We just keep doing, keep loving God, keep serving God. Fear loses its grip when God's people are busy living for Him and loving Him. When we get busy serving God and others, we don't have time to worry or fear. David says, I must. Perform my vows and render my thank offerings to you. I must worship you. I must live for you. And then verse 13 shows us where we find the strength to live for God and to worship God even in fearful days. When I am afraid. When the darkness will not lift. Where do we find the strength to live for God and to worship God even in these times? When fear is staring us in the face. You see what he says there in verse 13? For you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling. We go back to the gospel. We go to the gospel of Christ. We go to the gospel of grace and knowing that God has delivered us. God has delivered our soul from eternal death. Our feet from stumbling. We say it at the end of every service on Sunday mornings, don't we? Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling. That's what He does. So we go back to the gospel that God has saved us and God is keeping us for Himself. When we know that God has saved us, we know that God means to keep us. Therefore, we do not have to fear. We do not have to worry. We do not have to doubt. God's keeping us. Why? That I may walk before God in the light of life, here on earth and everlasting. So in Psalm 56, David goes from my enemies are trampling all over me to walking in the light of life in the gospel. So what do? We go to God. Number one, we go to God. We go to His Word. Number two, we remember God. Number three, we remember the gospel. That is hashtag fear. Faith, faith, over fear. Let's pray. And as we conclude our time tonight in prayer, as always, I'll be available after the service if you desire to pray with someone, if you have questions about the faith or questions about the church. We'll be available tonight for you after the service. Father in heaven, we love you and praise you. And Lord, again, we find your word is so true. And Father, you are our help. You are our Savior. You do keep us, Lord. Father, sometimes we feel so shameful, Lord, that we let even the little things concern us so. And in fact, the superscription of tonight's psalm, if we go back into Samuel and see this instance where the Philistine seized David, that's a three or four verses of scripture, and it seems to be a pretty quick transition there, and yet the little things sometimes causes us to have so much worry and fear, not to mention the big things. But Lord, you are greater. Help us to be people of the Word, Father, that have a big view of God, a large view of God. We cannot have a larger view of you than who you are. We just give us a greater and greater view in your Word of who you are and how you care for your people. We might say of our worries and concerns and doubts, what can flesh do to me? To you be all the glory. May you use us this week for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.